do not think that supply must come through one or two channels. It is not for you to dictate to universal mind the means through which it shall send its gifts to you. Your part is to impress upon mind your need, your earnest desire, your boundless belief in the resources and the willingness of universal mind to help you. Plant the seed of desire. Nourish it with a clear visualization of the ripened fruit. Water it with sincere faith, but leave the means to universal mind. Clear out the channels of thought. Keep yourself in a state of receptivity. Gain a mental attitude in which you are constantly expecting good. The trouble with most of us is that we are mentally lazy. It is so much easier to go along with the crowd than to break trail for ourselves. But the great discoverers, the great inventors, the great geniuses in all lines have been men who dared to break with tradition, who defied precedent, who believed that there is no limit to what mind can do, and who stuck to that belief until their goal was won, in spite of all the sneers and ridicule of the wiseacres and the it-can't-be-doners. Not only that, but they were never satisfied with achieving just one success. All the others come the more easily for it. They knew that the only limit upon their capabilities was the limit of their desires. Knowing that, they couldn't be satisfied with any ordinary success. They had to keep on and on and on. Edison didn't sit down and fold his hands when he gave us the talking machine or the electric light. These great achievements merely open the way to new fields of accomplishment. Open the channels between your mind and universal mind, and there is no limit to the riches that will come pouring in. Concentrate your thoughts on the particular thing you are most interested in, and ideas in abundance will come flooding down, opening a dozen ways of winning the goal you are striving for. Don't let one success, no matter how great, satisfy you. You must go forward or be passed by. Complacency is the greatest enemy of achievement. You must keep looking forward. Like Alexander, you must be constantly seeking new worlds to conquer. Depend upon it, the power will come to meet the need. There is no such thing as failing powers if we look to mind for our source of supply. The only failure of mind comes from worry and fear, or from disuse. William James, the famous psychologist, taught that the more mind does, the more it can do. For ideas release energy. You can do more and better work than you have ever done. You can know more than you know now. You know from your own experience that under proper mental conditions of joy or enthusiasm, you can do 3 or 4 times the work without fatigue that you can ordinarily. Tiredness is more boredom than actual physical fatigue. You can work almost indefinitely when the work is a pleasure. Remember the parable of the talents. You know what happened to the man who went off and hid his talent, whereas those who made use of theirs were given charge over many things. That parable, it has always seemed to me, expresses the whole law of life. The only right is to use all the forces of good. The only wrong is to neglect or to abuse them. If you are a merchant, you must sell the goods you have in order to buy more goods. If you are a doctor, you must help the patient you have in order to get more practice. If you are a clerk, you must do your work a little better than those around you if you want to earn more money than they. And if you want more of the universal supply, you must use that which you have in such a way as to make yourself of greater service to those around you. In other words, if you would be great, you must serve, and he who serves most shall be greatest of all. If you want to make more money, instead of seeking it for yourself, see how you can make more for others. In the process, you will inevitably make more for yourself too. We get as we give, but we must give first. It matters not where you start. still you can give. Give a bit more of energy, of work, of thought than you are paid for. Try to put a little extra skill into your work. Use your mind to find some better way of doing whatever task may be set for you. It won't be long before you succeed. There is no kind of work that cannot be bettered by thought. There is no method that cannot be improved by thought. So give generously of your thought to your work. Think every minute you are at it, isn't there some way in which this could be done easier, quicker, better? Read in your spare time everything that relates to your own work or to the job ahead of you. Look around you now. How can you give greater value for what you get? How can you serve better? How can you make more money for your employers or save more for your customers? Keep that thought ever in the forefront of your mind, and you'll never need to worry about making more for yourself. It is just true. Theosophists call it the law of karma. Humanitarians call it the law of service. Businessmen call it the law of common sense. Jesus Christ called it the law of love. It rules whether I know it or not, whether I believe it or not, whether I defy it or not. I can't break it. Jesus of Nazareth, without reference to any religious idea you may have about him, without consideration as to whether he was or was not divine, was the greatest businessman that ever lived. And he said, "Give, and ye shall receive." And this happens to be so, not because he said it, but because it is the truth, which we all, whether we admit it or not, worship as God. No man can honestly say that he does not put forth the truth supreme. It is the truth, the principle of giving and receiving, only there are few men who will go the limit on it, but going the limit is the way to unlimited returns. What shall I give? What I have, of course. Suppose you believe in this idea, and suppose you should start giving it out, the idea itself, tactfully, wisely, and living it yourself in your organization. How long do you think it will be before you are a power in that organization, recognized as such, and getting pay as such? It is the best thing you have to give, and therefore the thing best to give, and therefore the thing that will bring the best back to you. I believe that if a man would follow this principle, he would profit steadily more and more, because he would be working on fundamental law. Law never fails. Look around you first with an eye to seeing the truth, and then put the thing to the test. Through both methods of investigation, you will find a blank check waiting for you to fill in with whatsoever you desire.
Having filled your mentality, conscious and subconscious, with the faith that you can get what you want, you know that you can do it if you proceed in the right way. But which is the right way? This much is certain. To get more, you must make constructive use of what you have. You cannot use what you have not. Therefore, your problem is how to make the most constructive use of what you already have. Do not waste any time considering how you would use certain things if you had them. Consider simply how to use what you have. It is also certain that you will progress more rapidly if you make the most perfect use of what you have. In fact, the degree of rapidity with which you attain what you want will depend upon the perfection with which you use what you have. Many people are at a standstill, or find things coming their way very slowly because they are making only partial use of present means, power, and opportunities. You may see this point more plainly by considering an analogy in nature. In the process of evolution, the squirrels develop their leaping power to its fullest extent. Then, a continuous effort to advance brought forth the flying squirrel, which has a membrane uniting the legs in such a way as to form a parachute and enable the animal to sail some distance beyond an ordinary leap. A little extension of the parachute jump of the flying squirrel produced the bat, which has membranous wings and can fly. and continuous flight produced the bird with feathered wings. The transition from one plane to another was accomplished simply by perfecting and extending functions. If the squirrels had not kept leaping further and further, there would have been no flying squirrel and no power of flight. Making constructive use of the leaping power produced flight. If you are only jumping half as far as you can, you will never fly. In nature, we see that life advances from one plane to another by perfecting function on the lower plane. Whenever an organism contains more life than it can express by functioning perfectly on its own plane, it begins to perform the functions of the next higher or larger plane. The first squirrel, which began to develop the parachute membrane, must have been a very perfect leaper. This is the fundamental principle of evolution and of all attainment. In accordance with this principle, then, you can advance only by more than filling your present place. You must do perfectly all that you can do now. And it is the law that by doing perfectly all that you can do now, you will become able to do later things which you cannot do now. The doing to perfection of one thing invariably provides us with the equipment for doing the next larger thing, because it is a principle inherent in nature that life continuously advances. Every person who does one thing perfectly is instantly presented with an opportunity to begin doing the next larger thing. This is the universal law of all life and is unfailing. First, do perfectly all that you can do now. Keep on doing it perfectly until the doing of it becomes so easy that you have surplus power left after doing it. Then, by this surplus power, you will get a hold on the work of a higher plane and begin to extend your correspondence with environment.